Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'm also the guest. I'll be talking to myself, interviewing myself. But I want to talk to you about the underlying motivation of how you live your life. It's a part of human design. It's a very deep part. And it's called color. It's your coloration. It's what colors your personality, or your, not even personality, but your soul in this life. And it's a very deep undercover truth that can only be known if you are close to your birth time of 2 or 3 minutes, because it changes quickly. These colors change within minutes. And it wasn't presented originally. Ra, the founder of human design, didn't think that we could get enough birth times correctly enough to warrant teaching this to enough people. And he also was a strange guy and didn't have a lot of respect for most people. So he didn't feel that people were really worthy enough to get such deep truths, but he ended up teaching them. And it's very profound. He was amazing and could speak in such depth. I won't be able to do justice to this the way he could. And I understand why, because of my coloration. So this is why I like to have guests on the show and interview them and let them color the show. And then I just go along with it. But this is something that I really want to present to you that I think will help you understand underlying truths of who people are in this world and why people are the way they are. And not in the mechanics of personality as much as in the underlying principle of what motivates them. And that's why there are only six colors, and there are variables within those six colors of how to be. And so I don't know if you're listening to this, you probably are a color that can deal with my color. I'm a six. We'll look at that and see if I'm worthy of your listening, because I'm not here to try to condition you. I'm only really here to present what I understand. And so there are six numbers, and whichever number you are is known by your birth time, date and place, of course. And that's something that will never change. So these six numbers, whichever you are, you can't even work with in a way. All you can do is recognize them. You can't change them. They drive you. They're underlying motives of your life, and they drive you for your behavior and purpose and desire. And so we're going to start with the number one and work our way up. And the number one is fear. And if you're a number one, you understand that you need to figure things out. You need truth. You need not only truth, but proof of truth. And you're always trying to find ways within communities or just within your own mind of establishing truth. And so you'll vary between being a separatist or a communalist, because the communities can hold truths, but not forever. That's why communities always seem to split up into splinters, because there are fault lines in communities. So if you're seeking, if you have fear that's seeking foundation, that wants the foundation of proof, and you seek it out in communities and what the communities stand for, that only lasts so long. And then you're driven back into yourself for survival. And then, so that's a separatist saying, well, you know, I thought this was good, but I know I can probably trust myself the best. And then you'll find another group that you hope you can trust. So there's never enough proof. And there isn't. It's just, you know, life is very fragile. And so this is what creates change, is this fear of fault lines and seeking new proofs that will satisfy that and hopefully save you from these fault lines. So those are first line people. And you might find that you're driven that way. You really want to know what can be foundational, what can protect you and others, what you can depend on or not. So that brings us up to the second line. And people who are second lines don't believe in proof. They don't think proof exists. They don't want to hear about proof because they'll deny it. It's like, no, there's no such thing in this universe as proof. And actually the first line people are finding that out all the time, and that's why they keep changing to other forms of hopefully finding proof. But second lines, they just want to believe in whatever they can grasp to believe. So they're into hope and faith. And that can lead to religion. How many religions have proof? Well, they say they do, but it's proof in belief. So second line people can be theists, you know, believing in God, or anti-theists, not believing in God, because neither way is there proof. There's no proof that God exists, and there's no proof that God doesn't exist, except for belief. And if you want to believe, then you have to have faith and hope. And they say, well, then faith is proof. Well, I don't know. I think that the two, if you're a two, what I love about twos is because you don't need proof. You can have vision. You can be a visionary. You can seek future opportunities because you're not worried about having to have proof. So let's just go for it. Let's see what we can make in life. And let's hope for the best. So you might be a two. I know a lot of twos, and I love their attitudes because it's open-minded. It's saying, well, you can't prove anything to me, so let's just see what we can invent. Not even thinking that the invention is going to be provable, but at least it'll move us forward. So let's keep taking steps because we have nothing else to do, and let's not worry about it so much. And, you know, it's And it might lead to religion, but then we'll get into the next line, the three that are ways that leaders can draw people forward in life, and people want to follow those leaders. Because if you're a third line, you want to know, and it's an outer knowing of the world. It's wanting to experiment and find new ways, new answers. So it could be through any kind of invention, science, religion. This is the way. So it's leaders and followers. The leaders say, this is the way. And alpha leaders are threes, because they want to lead. They want to find followers. They know how to herd the sheep, because of all the people who are seeking answers in the unknown, because we don't know. So far, between the ones and the twos, we're still struggling with our safety. And so the leaders say, I know the way. And even though it's unknown, we're willing to follow them, because they have they can even have some of the two in them saying, I have the vision. But they want to actually lead and have followers. Whereas people who are in hope will experiment with different, maybe different leaders and different communities, et cetera. But aren't, if they're threes, they want to be followers. Threes really want to be sheep. They want to say, this leader will take us there. So threes are either leaders or followers. I've met a lot of threes who really believe in leadership, but it's a flag waving leadership. It's saying, I know, follow me, I'll get us there. And they do get us somewhere, but sometimes it doesn't seem like the right place. But sheep are following. And so it's a whole world of leaders and sheep. But that's the three. So, and it's also, threes are in the mind. The one and the two have to do with fear and either believing in proof or believing there is no such thing as proof. And the three is more mental. You know, I'm going to show you the way. I know where to take us. And the sheep say, we believe in your knowing. We get to the four. And the four is a change in vision, because fours are either masters or novices. So it's an inward knowing, whereas the threes are outer knowing. They're saying, you know, we're going to conquer the world outwardly. And the fours are, we're going to know the world inwardly. And so it's very personal, because you can't reach people inwardly unless you connect deeply with them. So fours are people who need to connect. So they're not flag wavers, but they are masters. They could have a lot of novices sitting around them going, you know, I want to know what you know. And they connect with each one. You know, look at all these gurus who have, ashrams filled with followers, and they give each follower a spiritual name. They connect deeply and know each follower. And so each follower feels known and connected to. And so fours are very personal, and it's deeply inner, whereas the three is what's called deeply outer. So the three might be, three could be communal or tribal, and yet even the four could be communal in an ashramic sense, or even just having your own personal guru. A four could be a personal master, and you're the personal novice. So, but fours love that because they want to connect deeply with people, and they want people to be willing to be subjects of deep connection. So it's quite a high thing to be is a four, because it's more spiritual. So now we're getting into more of a sense of spirituality here. And that's that drives a lot of people, especially now that consciousness is evolving. We really want to know the deeper parts of ourselves. And so if we can find people who can connect us to that, we'll do that. But then we see around us a lot of the sheep following leaders into blind alleys because they just, you know, want to be led by alpha leaders who seem to know. So the fours bring us in. So what do the fives do? The fives actually condition us. The fives also are spiritual. But what they want to do is influence you. They want to condition your spirit to whatever their purpose is. It's deeply moving. They want to move you. They want to not or condition you or perhaps decondition you. They want to change you to follow whatever spirit in you they can help you find. And a lot of salespeople are fives because they want to condition you to buy their products or services. And, or it could be proselytizers. I know a five who is always trying to convince me about his political interests. And, you know, and it's interesting because he's unrelenting. And that's, you know, that's what fives are. They're just so purposeful in ways that they can condition you and move you, motivate you, help you find your deeper passion. Hopefully that agrees with them. But I always find fives very existential. They're really dedicated to their purpose of conditioning. And it's not leading. It's not creating a lot of followers. It's more individual. It's conditioning one person at a time. Whereas, let's say, in politics, it's more about leaders and followers, sheep being herded by politicians. Whereas a five is, if it's a proselytizer, it's someone who just wants to convince you of their beliefs. And so that you then, you know, are in it. They want you to get into it. So it's a very high number. It's a very existential presence of spirit that they want to create in you. To be your best, to be the best spirit of this condition that you can be. And so it's very interpersonal and meaningful to the people who are trying to do it. Like this guy who's trying to condition me to change my politics. Not that I am interested in being a sheep of any politics. Because I'm not any of these numbers so far. And as I might have said at the beginning, I'm a six. And so I've been learning what a six is. It's hard to be a six because it's, in a sense, it's non-committal. It's just living in its sense of owning just oneself. And I've always been just innocent. It's called innocence. The six is called innocence. And so I've never had agendas. I've never tried to be a master seeking to teach, yet I do teach by being and by living my truth and speaking. It's the speaking my truth and speaking what I believe and who I am and how I believe the world to be, and the universe to be, without an agenda of being your master or your leader. I just want to present. And a lot of people are sixes and they don't necessarily do what I'm doing, but they're just being true to themselves. And so the sixes are role models of beingness. And what's interesting is that this is where the future is going for everybody. And starting, as according to human design, around 2027, more and more and more people are going to become sixes. And like I could still be a five, for instance, and just try to condition you all to what I believe. But I'm not trying to prove anything. All I'm doing is presenting what I believe and hoping that people are interested. And so sixes don't have big followings. They're not given big rewards or, you know, acclaim, because that doesn't fit. A six is innocent. It's not about ego. You know, I've always wondered, why aren't I using a bigger ego? Why aren't I demanding more of myself and others? If I could just be this bigger ego, I'd have a bigger footprint in life. And I've always said, somehow I'm supposed to have a smaller footprint, you know, to be effective, to have my radio show and my classes and clients and be helpful to people, but just in the truths that I understand and believe in. And so I am a teacher. People can learn from me, but not in a way that has aggrandizement to it. And so all sixes are like this. We're innocent. And the more that we can understand being this number, the more we can be true to it without thinking, oh, I should be trying to condition people, or I should be waving flags, or, you know, what's wrong with me? Why aren't I being like others? And we're not. So, but expect that you're all going to become like this at some point, and we'll stop needing to condition others or decondition others or create a big following. And everyone will just be living in sanctity and opportunity. There'll be less fear. So the earlier numbers, the one and the two, aren't gonna be so dominant because you know, doesn't drive them as much. And so in the future, we won't be, you know, driven to, from the unknown. Well, more will be known, more will be understood about our consciousness, about our sense of who we truly are in the universe and what our beingness is to be, which is innocence, which is just being present. It's very Taoist, extremely Taoist. The Taoists have said that we don't even need government, because if everybody is living in their truth, then we can trust everybody and everyone will do the right thing. So we don't need a government to enforce it, or, you know, everyone will work together purposefully in innocent ways. Wouldn't that be nice? So that's where we're all headed. And that comes from the past, from thousands of years ago. So I hope this has made sense to you. I've done my best, innocently. So I'm glad I could talk about this. I could always question myself and say, well, I could have done a much better job, and maybe I could have, but I'm a verbal gunslinger, so I've just been happy to verbalize with you, and am glad to be here. So this is Peter Roth again, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org. If you'd like to know what number you are, I can send you a free chart, but not just the chart, because the chart won't show your number, but I can find your number in the software and tell you your number when I send you your chart. So please email me, peter@heartriver.org, if you'd like to find out which color you are. Okay, thank you so much for being with me.